Text 78, chapter. Subject, killing of Dantavakka, Vidurat, and Roma Harshani. After the demise of Shishupal, Shalla, and Pondrak, another foolish demoniac king of the name Dantavakra wanted to take revenge by killing Krishna on account of his friend Shalla's death. He became so much agitated that without equipping himself with proper arms and ammunition, he personally appeared on the battlefield without even a chariot even. His only weapon was his great anger, which he was red hot. So far weapon is concerned, he had only one club in his hand. But it was practically experienced by everyone that this Dantavakra was so powerful that when he was moving, it appeared that there was a great trembling of the earth. And Lord Krishna saw him appearing in such heroic mode, he immediately got down from his chariot, because that was the rule of military etiquette. The fighting should take place between the equals. So, knowing that Dantavakra was alone, only with a club, Lord Krishna also responded similarly, and therefore he also prepared himself, taking his club in the hand. When Krishna appeared before him, his heroic march was stopped immediately, as much as the furious great waves of the ocean become subsided on the beach. At that time, Dantavakra, who was the king of Kurusuch, stood up firmly with his club and began to address Lord Krishna as follows, within quotation: "It is a great pleasure and fortunate opportunity, Krishna, that you have standing before me eye to eye. My dear Krishna, after all, you are my paternal cousin brother. As such, I should not have killed you in this way, but unfortunately, you have done a great mistake by killing my friend Shalla. Not only that you are satisfied by killing my friend, but I know that you want to kill me also. Because of your ill determination like this, today I must kill you by tearing you into pieces with my club. Krishna, although you are my relative, you foolish, you are the greatest enemy of us," within bracket, Shishupal and Dantavakra. "So I must kill you today exactly like a person removes a boil on his body by surgical operation. I am always very much obliging to my friends. I therefore consider that I am indebted to my dear friend Shalla. Now I can only liquidate my indebtedness to my friend by killing you. As a caretaker of the elephant tries to control the animal by striking it with his trident, similarly, Dantavakra wanted to control over Krishna only by speaking some strong words. And immediately after finishing his vituperation, he struck with his club on the head of Krishna very severely and made a roaring sound like a lion. Lord Krishna, even though struck by the club of Dantavakra so strongly, he did not move even an inch. Neither he felt any pain because of such striking. Now Krishna also, taking his Komodak club and just properly situating himself, very skillfully struck the club on the chest of Dantavakra so much fiercely that within the chest, the heart of Dantavakra became split up. As a result of this, Dantavakra began to vomit blood out of his mouth. His hairs became scattered and fell down on the ground, spreading his hands and legs. In a few minutes only, he remained a dead body on the ground. After the death of Dantavakra, exactly the same incident took place as it was at the time of Shishupal. In the presence of all persons standing there, small particle of spiritual effulgence came out of his body very wonderfully, merged into the body of Lord Krishna. Next paragraph. Dantavakra had another brother whose name was Vidura. He also became overwhelmed with grief on account of the death of his brother Dantavakra. Now, after the death of Dantavakra, this Vidura, out of grief and anger, was breathing very heavily, and just to revenge the death of his brother, he also appeared before Lord Krishna with a sword and a shield in the hands. He wanted to kill Krishna immediately. But Krishna, when he understood that Vidura was just looking after the opportunity to strike him with the sword, he immediately employed his disc of the name Sudarshan Chakra, which was as sharpened as the razor, and without delay cut off the head of Vidura with the helmet and earrings separated from his body. In this way, Lord Krishna, after killing Shalla and destroying his wonderful aeroplane, and then killing Dantavakra and Vidura, entered his city, Dwarka. Such actions in the matter of killing the great heroes were not possible by anyone else except Krishna. Therefore, all the demigods from the heaven and human being on the surface of the globe were glorifying him. Great sages and ascetics, the denizens of the Siddha and Gandharva planets, the denizens known as Vidyadhar, Vasuki, Mahanag, the beautiful angels, the inhabitants of Pitriloka, Jakshas, Kinnaras, and the Charanas, all of them, great jubilation began to shower upon him flowers and sang the songs of his victory. Great celebration took place within the city of Dwarka by decorating the whole town very jubilantly. And when Lord Krishna was passing through the city, all the members of Vrishni dynasty and the heroes of the Jadu dynasty were following him with great respect. These are some of the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, who is the master of all mystic power and the lord of all cosmic manifestation. Those who are fools like animals sometimes see that Krishna is defeated, but factually he is the supreme personality of Godhead and nobody can defeat. He remains always victorious over everyone. He is the only one God and all others are his subservient order carrier. Once upon a time, Lord Balaram, when he heard that there was arrangement being made for fighting between the two rival parties in the Kuru dynasty, headed by Duryodhana and the Pandavas respectively, he did not like the idea. He was mediator to stop the fighting, but when he found it impossible without taking any active part in either of the parties, he left Dwarka on the plea of visiting various holy places of pilgrimage. In this way, he first of all visited a pilgrimage known as Prabhas Kshetra. In that holy place, he first of all took his bath, and according to the Vedic ritualistic ceremony, he pacified the local Brahmins and offered oblations to the demigods, Pitris, great sages, and people in general. That is the Vedic system of visiting holy places. After this, accompanied by some respectable Brahmins, he wanted to visit different places on the bank of the river Saraswati. Then he gradually visited such places like Prithuda, Bindusar, Pitakup, Darshan Tirtha, Vishal Tirtha, Dhamma Tirtha, Chakra Tirtha. Besides this, he also visited the holy places on the bank of Saraswati River running towards the east. He visited all the holy places on that side also. After this, he visited all the principal holy places on the bank of Jamuna and on the bank of the Ganges. Thus, he gradually came to the holy place known as Naimisharanya. This holy place of the name Naimisharanya is still existing in India. It is especially meant for holding meetings of great sages and saintly persons for understanding spiritual life and self-realization. When Lord Balaram visited that place, there was a great assembly of transcendentalists and a great sacrifice was being performed there. Such a meeting of the transcendentalists were planned for thousands of years. And when Lord Balaram entered the place, all the participants of the meeting, namely, great sages, ascetics, Brahmins, learned scholars, immediately got up from their respective seats and welcomed Lord Balaram with great honor and respect. Some of them offered him respectful obeisances, and those who were elderly, great sages and Brahmins, offered him blessing by standing up. After this formality, Lord Balaram was offered a suitable seat, and thus all of them worshipped him. Every one of them in the assembly stood up on the presence of Balaram, because all of them knew Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Educational learning means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Lord Balaram, although he appeared on the scene as a Kshatriya, still all the Brahmins and sages stood up because they knew what Lord Balaram was. Unfortunately, Lord Balaram, after being worshipped and seated on his place, saw Romaharshan, the disciple of Vyasdeva, incarnation of Godhead, was still sitting on the Vyasasana. He neither got up from his seat nor offered him any respect. Because he was seated on the Vyasasana, he thought himself greater than the Lord. Out of this foolishness, he did not get down from his seat and bowed down before the Lord. Lord Balaram then considered what history of Romaharshan, that although he was born in a family known as Suta, or a mixed family born of Brahmin woman and Kshatriya man. As such, Romaharshan, even though he considered Balaram a Kshatriya, still he should not have remained sitting on higher seat than Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram considered that by his birthright position, Romaharshan should not have accepted the higher sitting position because there were many learned Brahmins and sages present. He also observed it particularly that Rama Harsan not only came down from his exalted seat, but he did not even stand up and offer his respects to Balaramji when he entered the assembly. Lord Balaram did not like the audacity of Rama Harsan in that way, and he became very much angry on the attitude of Rama Harsan. He therefore began to declare from his seat that this man, Rama Harsan, is very much impudent that he has accepted higher seat than all the respectable Brahmins present here, although he was born of a degraded Pratilam family. When a person is seated on the Vyasasana, certainly he does not require to stand up and receive a particular person entering the assembly. But here in this case, the situation is different because Lord Baladev is not an ordinary human being. Therefore, Rama Harsan Sutta, although he was voted to the Vyasasana by all the Brahmins, he should have followed the behavior of other learned sages and Brahmins who were present there and should have known it perfectly that Lord Balaram was the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, his respects are always due to him, even though such respects could be avoided in case of ordinary man. The incarnation of Krishna Balaram is especially meant for pre-establishment of the religious principle. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the highest religious principle is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the topmost perfection of religiosity is to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Considering all these points, when Lord Balaram saw that Rama Harsan Sutta did not understand the highest principle of religiosity in spite of his studying all the Vedas, certainly he could not support his position. Rama Harsan Sutta was given the chance of becoming a perfect Brahmin, but because of his ill behavior in the matter of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his low birth heritage was immediately called for. Rama Harsan Sutta was given the position of a Brahmin, but actually he was not born in the family of a Brahmin. He was born in a Pratilob family. According to Vedic concept, there are two kinds of family heritage. They are called Anulom and Pratilom. When a high caste male is united with low caste female, the offspring is called Anulom. But when a low caste male unites with a high caste woman, then the offspring is called Pratilom. Rama Harsan Sutta belonged to the Pratilom family because his father was a Kshatriya and his mother belonged to the Brahmin family. Because his transcendental realization was not perfect, therefore Lord Balaram remembered about his Pratilom heritage. The idea is that any man can be given the chance of becoming a Brahmin, but if the man improperly uses the position of a Brahmin without actual realization, then his elevation to the Brahminical position is not valid. Lord Balaram, after seeing the deficiency of realization in Rama Harsan Sutta, he wanted to chastise him because he was falsely puffed up. Lord Balaram therefore said that this man is liable to be awarded the death punishment because although he has the good certificate of becoming the disciple of Lord Vyasadeva, and although he had studied all the Vedic literature from such an exalted personality, he was not submissive in the presence of the Supreme Personality of God. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a person who is actually a Brahmin and at the same time very learned must automatically become very gentle also. In the case of Rovahansan Sutta, although he was very learned and was given the chance of becoming a Brahmin, he could not become gentle in his behavior. When one is therefore falsely puffed up by material acquisition and did not acquire the gentle behavior befitting a Brahmin, such person's decorations of learning is as good as the decoration of a serpent having a valuable jewel on the hood. Despite a valuable jewel on the hood, a serpent is always a serpent. It is equally fearful like an ordinary serpent. If a person therefore does not become meek and humble in his behavior, his studies of the Vedas and the Puranas and vast knowledge in the Shastras all become simply outward dress, exactly like that of a theatrical artist dancing on the stage. Lord Balaram thus began to consider, in quotation, "I have incarnated in order to chastise a false persons who are internally impure but externally pose themselves as very much learned and religious. Giving of such persons by me the proper action so that such persons may be checked from his progressive sinful activities." Although Lord Balaram avoided to take part in the battle of Kurukshetra, still, because of his position as incarnation, re-establishment of religious principles was his prime duty. Considering all these points, Lord Baladev immediately killed Rovahansan Sutta simply by striking him with a kusha straw, which was nothing but a blade of grass only. If somebody questions, however, how Lord Balaram could kill Rovahansan Sutta simply by striking him with a kusha grass, the answer is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the word Prabhu. Either is Lord's position is always transcendental, and because he is omnipotent, he can act as he likes without any obligation to the material laws and principles. As such, it was possible for him to kill Rovahansan Sutta simply by striking him with a tussock grass blade. As soon as Rovahansan Sutta was killed like that, everyone present became very much aggrieved, and there was a roaring. Everyone cried, "Alas, alas!" Although all the Brahmins and sages present there knew Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still they did not hesitate to protest the action of the Lord and humbly submitted, "My dear Lord, we think that you have your action is not on the religious principle. My dear Lord Jagannanda, we may inform you that we all Brahmins posted Rovahansan Sutta on that exalted position until this great sacrifice is finished. We are seated on that exalted position of Vyasasan by our election. And when one is seated on the Vyasasan, it is improper for him to stand up to receive a person. Not only this, we awarded this Rovahansan Sutta an undisturbed duration of life. Under the circumstances, as your lordship has killed him without knowing all these facts, think that your
action has been equal to that of killing a Brahmin. Dear Lord, the deliverer of all fallen souls, we know it certainly that you are the knower of all Vedic principles. You are the master of all mystic powers. Therefore, ordinarily, the Vedic injunctions cannot be applied on your personality. But still, we shall advise that in order to show your causeless mercy upon others, you should kindly compensate this action of killing Romahorsan Suta by performing some sort of atonement so that others may follow your action. We do not, however, suggest what kind of atonement you should do, but we simply suggest that some sort of such atonement may be adopted by you for others' benefit. What is done by a great personality is followed by the ordinary man. Expert. The Lord replied, yes, I must execute some sort of atonement for this action which may be proper for me, but it is improper for others. Therefore, I think it is my duty to execute a suitable atonement as they may be enjoined in the authorized scriptures. Simultaneously, I can also give this Romahorsan Suta life again with a span of long duration, sufficient strength and power of the senses. Not only this, if you desire, I shall be glad to award him anything more which you may ask from me. I shall be very glad to execute all these for fulfillment of your desire. Quotation clause, next paragraph. This statement of Lord Balaram definitely confirms it that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is free to act anyway, although it may be considered that his killing of Romahorsan Suta was improper. He could immediately counteract the action with greater profit. As such, one should not imitate the action of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should simply follow the instruction of the Lord. Now, all the great learned sages present there could immediately realize that the action of Lord Balaram, although considered by them, was improper. The Lord was able to compensate that immediately with greater profit. Therefore, they did not like to disturb the son of the Lord for killing Romahorsan Suta. All of them, therefore, prayed. Dear Lord, the uncommon use of your Pusa weapon for killing a Romahorsan Suta may be maintained as it is. Because you desire to kill him, he may not be brought into life again. At the same time, your Lordship may remember that we, all great sages and Brahmins, voluntarily gave him long life. Therefore, such benediction may not be also nullified. The request of all the learned Brahmins in the assembly thus became a dilemma for an ordinary man, because they wanted to keep intact the benediction given by them that Romahorsan Suta should continue to live till the end of the great sacrifice. At the same time, they did not like to nullify the action of Balaram by killing him. That's why the Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore solved the problem befitting his exalted position and said, in quotation, the son is the representative of the father. That is the injunction of the Vedas, because the son is produced from the body of the father. Therefore, I say that Ugrasrava Suta, the son of Romahorsan Suta, henceforward shall take his position for continuing the discourses on the Puranas. And because you wanted Romahorsan to have a long duration of life, this benediction should be transferred to his son. His son Ugrasava will have therefore all the facilities. You offered long duration of life, good and healthy body without any disturbances and with full strength of all the senses. Next verse, after this, Lord Balaram implored all the sages and Brahmins that besides the benediction offered to the son of Roma Harshan, they could ask from him any other benediction which he would be prepared to fulfill immediately. The Lord thus blessed himself as an ordinary Kshatriya and informed the sages that he did not know what kind of atonement was suitable for his killing Rom Harshan, but anything they would suggest, he would be glad to accept that. Next verse. The Brahmins could understand the purpose of the Lord. Thus, they suggested a sort of an atonement which was for their own benefit. They said, within quotation, "My dear Lord, here is a demon of the name Balbal. He is the son of Kilbal, but he is a great, powerful demon, and he visits this sacred place of sacrifice every fortnightly on the full moon and dark moon days and creates a great disturbance to the discharge of our duties in the sacrifice. Oh, the descendant of the Dasarha family, we all request you to kill this demon. We think that if you kindly kill this demon, that will be your atonement on our behalf. These demons occasionally come here and profusely throw upon us all contaminated, impure things like purses, blood, stool, urine, wine, and immediately pollutes this sacred place by showering upon us such untouchable articles. After executing this killing of Balwar, you may have a continued touring over all these sacred places and pilgrimages for 12 months, and by that way you shall be completely freed from all contamination. That is our prescription. Quotation close. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport of the 78th chapter of Krishna. The matter of killing Dantabhaka, Vidura and Roma Harshan.